All right, good morning, everybody. We're going to call the meeting of August 24th, 2023, planning council meeting to order. Please stand for pledge of allegiance. And Mayor Bill, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. It's good to see everybody in person again. Good morning. Hope everybody's enjoyed their summer so far. Karen, please call the roll.
Mr. Brian Blackwelder. Mayor Felicia Brunson. Commissioner Angelo Castillo.
Here.
Ms. Denise B. Fernandez. Mayor Michelle J. Gomez.
Good morning.
Ms. Ryan Greenberg.
Present.
Mayor Rex Harden.
Here.
Mr. Easton K. Harrison.
Present. Good morning.
Councilmember Denise Appleby Hoyland. Mayor Josh Levy.
Here.
Commissioner Jackie Rayleigh.
Good morning.
Vice Mayor Nan H. Rich.
Here.
Mr. David Rosenoff.
Here.
Mayor Michael J. Ryan.
Present.
School Board Member Dr. Alan Zeman.
Last again.
Mr. Thomas H. DiGiorgio Jr.
Second to last. I'm here. Good morning again, everyone. Ms. Blake Boy.
I just wanted to comment that Mayor Brunson is online in case she, I don't think she was able to click on quick enough to respond to the poll.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, okay. And then also, and then the other person that we have, as I just want to mention, Councilmember Hoyland is on her way in. She's in the parking garage. So she will be here momentarily. And then we do have one excused absence request last minute due to a medical appointment from Ms. Fernandez.
Do we have any word on Mr. Blackwelder?
We do not have word on Mr. Blackwelder.
Okay. Anything else on the consent agenda, Ms. Blake Boy, that we need to review?
No, just the addition of Ms. Fernandez, and then if you want to grant Mr. Blackwelder.
Let's do that. Motion by Commissioner Castillo, second by Mayor Gomez. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Andy, any report today?
No report, Mr. Chair.
Excellent. Thank you. Ms. Blake Boy.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I hope that everyone did have a great summer. Even though we did meet in July, I hope everyone had an opportunity to do something fun this summer. Just a couple of items of business. One is the November-December meeting date. I think that the November 30th date is the best date. There was only one member who responded that was unable to attend that meeting. Everyone else that responded, I think there was 11 or 12 responses, was able to attend that date, and the alternate date did not have nearly as much. So I would ask for that meeting to be set as November 30th without objection.
Without objection.
Thank you. In your backup material are the customer service survey results. We've been doing that annually, so the results are in there for you to see. You know, I think I say this all the time, especially when I have my evaluation, but our staff does a great job, and I think that's reflected in the customer service survey results. So I just want to say our staff does a great job.
They do indeed. Then I'm looked up.
And the also the final item that's on the list is the cancellation of the September 28th meeting date. We don't have any public hearing items for that date. So if anything came up, it would go to the October. We're kind of past those deadlines anyway. So if there's unless a member has a reason to have a September meeting date.
Does anybody have an objection to canceling the September meeting?
Cancel it.
Without objection.
Thank you. So then your next meeting would be in October.
Excellent.
And then just something that's not on the list is Andy's mostly working on it. I asked him to do an update of the Sunshine Law update, and we're going to take a look at the ethics piece. So we'll be sending out an updated PDF for your files for that over the next couple of weeks, probably sometime in September. So I just wanted to alert you to that. That concludes my report, except where I just want to mention under correspondence, I sent out last night a response document from the school board staff related to the questions that have been submitted by the members in early June. So it's not on your agenda, but you did receive it via email last night. I just wanted to mention that.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. With that, we have five public hearing items today. There's no one from the public signed in to speak except for municipal representatives and agents. The quasi-judicial proceedings on the recertifications for items PH1 and PH2 are waived by the town of Pembroke Park. Item PH3 is a recertification of the city of Fort Lauderdale text. All three recertification requests are in conformity with the Broward County Land Use Plan, and staff recommends approval. Item PH4 is a small-scale amendment. Right now, it's in, it's in Broward Municipal Services District, and it will go into the city of Parkland in September 15th, next month. The city of Parkland does not object to the land use plan amendment. It's already entered into an agreement with the proposed developer for when it's annexed into the city of Parkland. There are sufficient facilities and services to serve the proposed land use. The change is from a very low Palm Beach County residential of one unit per 10 acres to commerce, and it's being restricted to a self-storage facility. The Planning Council staff recommends approval of the proposed amendment, and like I said, there is no one from the public signed in to speak on that item beyond the agent. Item PH5 is the text amendment that was deferred from your June Planning Council meeting. So I'm not sure if you want to consider items 1 through 4 before we kind of delve into that discussion.
Thank you. Is there any member of the council that would like to pull any item PH1 through PH4?
Move approval.
I have a motion for approval by Mayor Harden. We have a second from Senator Rich. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. PH5, Ms.
Thank you. So as I mentioned briefly, item PH5 was deferred from your June Planning Council public hearing. This is a proposed amendment to add an incentive-based policy for parcels designated community on the Broward County Land Use Plan map that meet the following criteria. West of and including US-1, publicly owned by a municipality and within its jurisdiction, or publicly owned by Broward County Board of County Commissioners or the School Board of Broward County. At least 25% of the dwelling units would be required to be deed restricted to moderate, low, or very low affordable housing for a period of at least 30 years. The maximum density may not exceed 50 dwelling units per acre. The governing body must make a finding of sufficient facilities and services, and that as well as a finding of compatibility at a publicly noticed meeting. And those last two criteria are reflective of what was adopted into 2.16.3 and 2.16.4. So it's consistent with those previous incentive-based policies. There were comments and questions that were submitted by the Municipal Services District, the City of Fort Lauderdale, and the City of Hollywood. Those are addressed in Attachment 6. In addition, the school board staff did submit comments just before your June Planning Council meeting, and the staff report has been updated to reflect receiving those comments as well. Planning Council staff continues to recommend approval of the proposed amendment, and I do have the clicker. Thank you. So if you could just go to the first slide. Okay, one more. Okay, thank you. So I just want to share this quick series of maps when we're talking about this land use plan amendment. This map is just a graphic of the Broward County land use plan map as a whole. You're all familiar with this. Every parcel has its own designation of land, whether that's a residential or non-residential category. The blue areas are activity centers that are designated within cities. So I just wanted to have a concept of every parcel has its own land use designation. The next map shows every parcel that is designated community use throughout Broward County. So it just isolates those parcels. The next map, this map shows the parcels that could meet the criteria for this policy. They are designated community use. They are owned by a municipality, the county commission, or the school board. And I just wanted to depict this so you could get a feel for how many parcels that we're possibly talking about. And then what we have highlighted to the right, which I know is hard to see at the scale, the red line is US 1 Federal Highway, and the intercoastal is light blue. There are 11 parcels between the red line and the blue line, east of US 1 and west of the intercoastal waterway, that are owned by a municipality, the county commission, or the school board. With that, I would give that back to Seth. I think Dr. Hurado is here. There had been some questions last at the June meeting, so we had asked her to come to this meeting just to, for discussion purposes.
Dr. Zima.
Thank you, Chair. Map somewhere in our binder.
It is not in the binder. I'm reluctant to print it and put it in the binder because one of the reasons is the criteria for the municipalities is that it has to be within their jurisdiction. So there are municipalities that own lands outside of their jurisdiction. So I didn't want this to become like, well, this parcel is on here, it must qualify, because it becomes very difficult to start, kind of trying to take that parcel. And the best examples I can think of is the city of Fort Lauderdale owns land in Broadview Park, which is in unincorporated Broward County. So those parcels would not qualify for this policy. I'm happy to email the maps to you, so that you can have them, but I was just reluctant to put that in there for that reason.
Dr. Zima.
Thank you, Chair.
This is confusing to me. This is a reflection of data that we publicly own, right? And it could be described in a way that makes sure that anyone who observes it would know that it does not include city land outside the city boundaries, which is a whole interesting thing that I'd love to learn more about later. Glad my home city owns property outside of our jurisdiction. But these data are critically important, not just for Broward Planning Council business, but just for general knowledge. And so I'm concerned that we have these data and we're afraid to share that because of people may misunderstand it. I'm just lost.
So I'm happy to include it moving forward. I just was reluctant to put it in there before we had the discussion about these pieces of it. I'm happy to include it. There's nothing wrong with the data that's in there. And we do have, disqualifying statements that we put on the land use map that these are generalized and not for legal purposes, et cetera.
And Barbara's decision was in large part influenced by a conversation with me as counsel, who was kind of conservative on these things. And I may have been overly conservative, but she was just following advice that I offered to her.
That's fine. I think in full transparency, once we, vote on this item, I think we make all this, put in our backup, send it to all the members and make sure it's public information.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Dr. Zeman, anything else?
I just need to look at it, I guess, before we vote.
So it's really the item, what we talked about go ahead, Ms. Blakely.
So Planning Council staff's recommendation is including US 1 and Federal Highway. I only included this information because this was the discussion that you were having at the June meeting, was whether or not you wanted to include between Federal Highway and Intracoastal Waterway at the discretion of the local government. That's why it's highlighted.
And I just want to highlight again, that's 11 properties that we're talking about in the entire county that we're discussing right here. So that's really the crux of the discussion. I think we're all in favor of the policy in general. It's really, do we stop at Federal Highway or do we go to the intercoastal with the 11 if we find that necessary? So if there's further conversation, you had some questions, I think, Dr. Zeman in June.
Yeah.
For Dr. Harado, she's here today. If you have any direct questions for her, Dr. Harado, I think is still here. Oh, there you are. I saw you in the back and I couldn't see you any longer. Dr. Harado, do you want to weigh in really on any concerns or questions you may have from west of the intercoastal to Federal Highway? If we open this up, is there anything you'd like to add? Excellent. By the way, I speak on behalf of this council, you did a phenomenal job last month talking about resiliency where we were, so thank you for the work on that.
Appreciate it, thank you. Yeah, thank you again. So members of the council, my understanding was that there was discussion about the inclusion of this additional area for affordable, I guess, housing project or community properties in this vicinity between US 1 and the intercoastal. And I think in my assessment was, is there a heightened level of flood risk today and under future conditions that would potentially subject these properties to a risk that may be unattractive and could be lessened if we were to exclude them from the policy? And if you were. And so in this consideration, I looked through the tool that we shared with all of you in the last resilience discussion that was online about a month ago, and evaluated visually the flood risk for all the scenarios of interest. And I would say that in looking at that, US 1 is a strong delineation of heightened flood risk between the west and the east. It really is. And even under the most nominal surge scenarios, the 25-year storm surge scenario, areas east of US 1 have a heightened flood risk. And it's in all scenarios pronounced in the southern half of the county at a very lesser storm surge still creates that risk. But if you compound flood risk in really any fashion, it extends up the coast into the northern part of Broward County. I think that by limiting the evaluation or that community use, I'm not articulate on this, but if you were to only focus on the barrier island, it's such a sliver, and that flood risk on the barrier island is really on the westward side or the intercoastal side, but there's essentially no distinction in flood risk on the barrier island on the western side, and that additional land area between US 1 and the intercoastal. They share the flood risk, and it's relatively significant. And so if you look at not only the property, but you know, people's assets and so forth, and what it means to have your vehicle and other things, all the things that go with contending with flood risk, I think that there's a recognition that there are other areas of the county, sure, that have flood risk, but it's very predictable in this area.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you analyzing that for us, Dr. Harado. Is there questions for Dr. Harado? Did everyone understand basically how she and her staff evaluated the flood risk there? Dr. Zeman, Senator Rich? Okay. With that information, we have these, there was the question, do we want to extend it to the intercoastal? Is, is there consensus with the group here that we're fine with the delineation as federal highway, or is there further discussion?
I'd move approval as is.
We have a motion from Mayor Harden, second from Senator Rich, to move as is with the delineation at federal highway. Further discussion?
Chair? Yeah, so yeah, it makes sense. Look, in the end, you pointed out, and as was mentioned, I think, at the earlier meeting, that this affects a limited number of properties in a designated community that are east of US 1 that, you know, may not enjoy this incentive. But I think if we look at the overall intent of the policy, and what it really does is I think it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Barbara, but this encourages the potential additional use of community property to include affordable housing to further that desire of the community. If properties are repurposed and have other opportunity, we're just saying that for those community properties that have the opportunity to be reimagined, if the publicly owning entity wants to repurpose it and include residential, that residential include a certain minimum amount of affordable / you know, low income housing. That's really all in the end that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Here. So it's not. So I don't think there's much to my concern or my inquiry at the last meeting about east of US 1 was really about, is there a real amazing opportunity on some property that we might not want to restrict because it is a good candidate for potential repurposing? I don't have a list of 11. It's not something that, you know, I wake up in the morning and think about, who I can't wait to put, you know, repurpose that property and put affordable housing there or just any other use. So I don't have anything in mind that this injures, but in the end, it's just an incentive west of. So, you know, I think properties are still free to, or owners are still free to propose uses. This is just an incentive that's tied, and it's only eligible west of US 1, correct?
Yes, and I, just to follow up with that, because that's an excellent point. To expand on these 11 properties between US 1 and the Barrier Island, there would be no prohibition in them applying for a Broward County land use plan amendment if they saw fit, if they were ready to make a move to repurpose a property. So there's no prohibition in the in examining that. It just would not be an incentive-based policy. It would be incentivized other ways.
Yes. Excellent point. Thank you for your clarification. Mayor Gomez?
I was actually just about to ask, and it was already answered, because it's hard to say we don't want to have an incentivized policy on the east, but the reasons for why you would not want to do that, I think, outweigh, because while you have homes that might be there and services that might be, they may be closer to work and all that kind of good stuff, the insurance, the taxes and all the other stuff that would go into owning a home and being on Bear Island might outweigh the benefit of that. So, but that's an individual determination at that time. So I appreciate that we had this discussion. Thank you.
Excellent. Any further, Dr. Zeman?
Thank you so much. I liked this work and appreciate all the effort that went into it. I think the idea of providing incentives in as many places as possible is a smart one. US 1, though, however, you know, makes a lot of sense. This was never about the Barrier Island, though. This was only up to the intercoastal and west. And so I support this as written, but I do think it's a good exercise. I think that whenever you have a blanket policy statement and you draw a line on a map, there's always exceptions to that that you'd like to do. And to the mayor's point, we can do that still. And as we work through the process, hopefully, of reimagining public land in Broward County to the betterment of the Broward County community, we'll continue to come back to this board and to the commission and anybody else that owns public land and try and think about how we can build a better Broward County by thinking differently about the public use that we have. And I'm dying to hear about some of the reimagining things that we have with the plans that we have at Broward County Schools, which I'll talk about later. Thank you, Chair.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Singh.
And yes, I stand corrected on my location in my head, so.
That's okay.
I've never been with geography and history.
Look, so if they had given you a printed version of it, you would have gotten it right.
Sorry, it's early morning.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Ms. Blakeboy.
That concludes the public hearing items for today.
Excellent. Anything else we should know about?
I mean, always, no, I'm just kidding. I do want to say that we will.
I recognize Dr. Zeman's second.
When we update the amendment report, that will be included as attachment eight, just this, a version of this map. It may not look exactly like this, but it will be some version of this.
Excellent, thank you. Dr. Zeman.
Thank you so much. I'm glad that our school district staff responded to the questions from June 5th, and you, all my colleagues are welcome to read them and think about them. You'll see, though, in the answer to number eight, that Broward County School Board did vote to repurpose five schools this year, or to take consideration of what we could do with this land. Broward County School Board has, as has staff, known for quite a while that we have more schools than our students need. And that is public land. And I think we're doing the right thing in the sense of good government to think a little bit about what that is. In the course of that, we have found land that we own that we're never going to use for a school. We've started thinking about transit options that should be different based on the 56,000 students we move around every day on buses and the other 200,000 that go through private vehicles or walk or ride bikes or scooters or hoverboards or wherever they get to school. But I will continue to work with anyone on this board or anyone in any city, municipality in Broward County that is interested in reimagining anything related to a school board. It's a real passion of mine to think differently about these lands. There is one place that is outside, it is west of US 1, just so you know, where a city has come and there's over 1,000 affordable or workforce housing units that could fit. It's tangent to the Bright Line. I mean, it's a tremendous opportunity to think differently about it. And the reason I'm passionate about this as a school board member is I'm passionate about Broward County being different than what it's going to be if we don't do this. If we don't take radical, you know, quick, decisive, agile decisions about our public land, we're going to end up with a Broward County that, if the demographers and the experts are right, isn't the county that we want it to be. It will not be affordable for people to live here. We will be excluding people. And that's just not the Broward County that I think anybody really imagines. And so I just want to partner with anybody that wants to talk about it. If you need more data about schools, about enrollment, about transit patterns and things like that, I'm available to work, as is my staff. Thank you, sir.
Excellent. I think the transportation that you talk about is not just restricted to the school system. It's really, it's going to be a county, tri-county issue with transportation. You know, with that regards, the city of Pompano Beach is trying to deal with all of its development and growth. We just put a multimodal transportation task force together. We sunsetted last night. We're going to present that to the commission. And again, it's really looking at it. And what it comes down to is partnering with the other cities, Broward County, and our neighboring counties and the school boards. I mean, it's really important to look at the short term, which is the next 5-6 years that's happening specifically in Pompano Beach with the growth. We talked about the growth in Hollywood, and all of our cities are growing tremendously. It's a big issue. So we've got to look about it. And so it's not just in the kid sense for transportation. It's in general, can it be affordable to live in this county? So it's a great point. Thank you. Commissioner Castillo.
Yes, just briefly, I had a question, but first I want to thank you for your presentation. The tone and the content of it is astonishingly refreshing. And I'm very, very thankful to hear this kind of language in connection with those subjects. You had indicated that there were five schools that, could you talk a little bit more about what are these middle, are they elementary, how will it affect feeder patterns? Have you identified which schools those are or where they might be located generally? I'd just like to know a little bit more about that.
Thank you. If I may, just for 1 minute, Chair. We have not identified any schools. What we've said is a number, which is we'd like to work with municipalities. We'd like to work with any other government organization, even private groups. We've actually had some conversations with hospitals about needs in the county for medical centers. And we believe that the municipalities have far greater knowledge about everything from transit to commercial growth to future development. When I talk in my city, to commissioners or to the mayor, they can tell you block by block, you know, where they expect things to go. In downtown Fort Lauderdale, we're building 7,000 condominiums over the next 5 years in the downtown development area. It's going to be an amazing development, and we don't have a school for that. And so those are the kinds of issues that we're dealing with on this. What I think is potentially useful from a good government perspective, though, is that we're coming to the table and saying, look, here's a hotspot of very low enrollment with no demographic projections for increased enrollment. The density of housing is relatively fixed in this area. It costs us a lot of money to run a school. And so if we can take that money and put it back into teacher pay or put it back into something that leads directly to higher quality education in Broward County, that's great for the county as well.
Sometimes less is more.
Yes, sir. But I think to your point, there's a new approach to this for Broward County Schools. And it's one of, you know, let's sit down, let's talk, let's figure out what a better solution might look like. And we're gonna just continue to work on that and just try to be better partners for the 31 municipalities, for the county, and for other, you know, state, local, federal organizations that are here. But there are five hotspots that anybody who looks at the enrollment map will say, wow, there's five kind of obvious. Those are all elementary schools, just so you know. And the process is excruciating. It is still hard to go to parents and say, you know, School X isn't part of our long-term plan. But what I think is positive is if School X was going to become affordable workforce housing, we've talked to MPO about transportation hubs, you know, which is another thing that we need to fix countywide transportation. We can't just buy more buses and beg people not to drive and things like that. They really need property in order to do these transportation hubs, as Greg Stewart has pointed out. I'm just pointing out that we're willing to sit down and talk. We have a lot of good data about it, and we want to do what's best for the county, not just do, you know, kind of the overly conservative approach of saying, look, when you repurpose a school, you can never get another school back. Our demographic projections suggest that we've got more capacity than we're ever going to need. And we have to be honest about, you know, what the other community needs are.
Very refreshing.
I don't know how else to say.
Echo your words, Commissioner. Senator Rich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to mention, I was surprised that Mr. Morose didn't mention the Live Local Act that was passed. I just want everyone to know that we have a committee task force that's looking at possible remedies. The legislature has indicated that they will be looking at a glitch bill on this. They recognize, evidently, some people at least recognize that there is an issue with this bill. And it certainly impacts our municipalities in particular, who are having, you know, heartburn over this, and rightfully so. So we have a group, I know that Barbara is working on that. It came up, actually, Maite, who's one of our assistant county attorneys, was at the climate change task force where this was an issue too. So we're bringing a lot of people together. And then Marty Cassini, who's our legislative affairs person, we will be using that to bring to Tallahassee as soon as the committee hearings start, because they start early because of the earlier session. So we want to be prepared to make recommendations on changes that we think are needed for our community.
Excellent. Anything else for the good of the order? Any more discussion on this or any other item? Hearing none, I think that's a motion to adjourn.
Yes, sir. Thank you.